gospel lesson is found on page 914 in your Bibles. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. And Jesus began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants that they should give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant. Him also they beat and treated shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third, and this one they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him that the inheritance may be ours." And they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "God forbid." But he looked at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The very stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." The scribes and the chief priests tried to lay hands on Jesus at that very hour, but they feared the people, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we can come together as your people to worship you this morning. We do come to praise you, to glorify your name, to bring honor to you. Father, even as we come for those purposes, we also come seeking to meet you in this place and to hear your voice speaking to us through your word. Father, do that now. Use this time to shape us and mold us as your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, yesterday we ended up having a pretty good and productive time for our spring beautification day. One of the questions we always have going in concerns who and how many people will show up. Jay Law and I stand there going, "I hope it's not just you and me." And it wasn't. As we got started, we had some of the usual folks that come help on that occasion. But gradually another person would arrive or two people would drive in ready to help. We ended up with a fair number of folks here to help with the work. And what I noticed, with each new arrival, not once did I say or hear anyone else say, "Oh no, not you." We did not grill people about their skills or what tools they brought with them. We were concerned with which hand they used to pull weeds or what kind of gloves they wore. In each case, we were simply delighted to have more help. And as it turned out, we actually wrapped things up earlier than usual yesterday. Well, with that in mind, I do find it curious how God's people through time have been so resistant when legitimate help comes along. I know it's not an exact parallel to our spring beautification day, but we do learn of multiple examples in the Bible when God sent specific individuals to be of help to his people. And so often, those individuals were less than appreciated. In many cases, they were abused and rejected. What is different, even when that has happened, God still manages to get his work accomplished. This morning we have set before us the ultimate case in point. In today's passage from Luke's Gospel, we find ourselves with Jesus in Jerusalem during the time leading up to the cross. The leaders in Jerusalem had challenged Jesus' authority to say and do the things he was saying and doing. While his reputation was known, his credentials were not known. And the leaders implied Jesus was out of line in what he taught and what he did, such as chasing the money changers out of the temple. The parable Jesus told was in response to that challenge from the religious leaders. Before we look at this more closely, I want to mention something about Jesus' demeanor. As Jesus told this parable, I doubt very seriously that he was smiling or snickering. In just the previous chapter, we find the second description of Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. There is a sadness and heaviness in his heart over the long track record of God reaching out to them and them rejecting his efforts. This parable is in that same vein. Listening to the parable, it's not difficult to recognize the allegorical associations represented here. As the parable unfolds, the players become clear. The vineyard representing the nation and people of Israel. The owner of the vineyard representing God. The servants of the owner representing the prophets, like those in the Old Testament, as well as John the Baptist. The son, of course, the son of the owner, being Jesus. And the tenant farmers, the vine growers, representing the religious leaders who had been given the responsibility of tending the religious life of the covenant people of Israel. Jesus is identifying a sad pattern through the history of God's people. Time and time again, those who were supposed to be leading people to God were neglecting their responsibility out of personal interest. When God sent servants as messengers to provide correction and redirection, those very servants were ignored, mistreated, abused, and even killed. It's a long list. And now Jesus was speaking this parable on the brink of his own crucifixion. The attempt of the leaders in Jerusalem to get rid of the one they perceived to be this pesky rabbi claiming to be God's son. Thinking with him out of the way, the vineyard would be theirs and they could tend it the way they wanted in keeping with their own interests and priorities. They could not see that Jesus had come for their benefit. Because of his great love for them, he came to do for them what they could not do for themselves. It can be both heartbreaking and mind-baffling when people reject the love of God expressed in Christ Jesus. Heartbreaking because we know the consequences and what they are missing. Mind-baffling because we have difficulty comprehending why anyone would reject such a great gift. We can speculate about different possible reasons. They don't recognize or admit their need. They don't want to submit their lives to anyone else, not even God. They can't imagine that kind of love could possibly be real. One level, it is important to know and understand the person with whom we are sharing the good news, to connect with them more specifically. At another level, however, I recognize that my striving to identify the sticking point for a person may be putting too much weight on my ability to convince them. The thought being, if I can just say it the right way or explain it clearly enough, then of course they will come to believe and accept Jesus as their Savior. What is important to remember is that there is always a spiritual element to such conversations which goes beyond our human ability to manage. While there are very intelligent and cogent aspects to the faith, rational arguments and legitimate responses to the questions of skeptics, we will never argue someone into faith in Christ. There's a dimension to any person's new birth that involves the work of the Holy Spirit. which therefore brings us on our knees before God, even as he is using us to bring light into the life of another person. Unfortunately, the fear of rejection leads many people to either change the message of the gospel or abandon it altogether. Just yesterday, the Encounter with God devotional reading was from the book of Jeremiah. It was a time when many designated leaders were doing just that, changing God's message, prompting the Lord to say, "An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority, and my people love it so. But what will you do at the end of it?" As a reminder that God's sovereign will and purposes may be challenged, but they will not be thwarted. Jesus is quite clear again and again, as here, about the central aspect of our faith as Christians. The heart of the faith, the foundation of the faith, the key component, the chief cornerstone of the gospel is Jesus himself. To reject him is to reject God's salvation. Therefore, we are doing no one any favor by trying to substitute a different message in place of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, such attempts are a disservice because we are robbing people of God's truth. And what will you do at the end of it? While the Jerusalem leaders knew full well this parable was identifying them as the wicked tenants, and they did not like the implications whatsoever, don't miss the significant turn at the end. It is precisely through the course of their belligerence that the Son showed himself to be the chief cornerstone. We have before us another demonstration of what J.C. Ryle called the amazing patience and long-suffering of God. Even here, Jesus is giving them an opportunity to repent of their rebellion and to recognize and receive him for who he is. To reject Jesus is to reject God, even as he is reaching out to those he loves. To accept Jesus is to find him to be the rock of salvation. Jesus was giving them yet another opportunity to trust in him, but they would not. As difficult as it is to hear this parable and to understand the implications, I'm grateful that it has been preserved for us. When today's church leaders deny the uniqueness of Jesus as the eternal Son of God who gave himself to be our Savior, they are rejecting Jesus. This parable helps me be less surprised, even as I am saddened for those individuals and the others they lead astray. When I share with someone the good news of what Jesus has done for them, and they seem right on the brink of faith, but then step away, they are rejecting Jesus. This parable helps me remember they are not the first or only ones to do so, even as I hold on to hope, mindful that their story is not yet over. Like Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, they may yet come to know Jesus for who he is. And so I keep sharing and I keep praying. When I personally wonder or waver, this parable reminds me that it is not so much about me being perfectly rock solid as it is about me standing on the solid rock, who is Jesus Christ, my Savior and Lord. In the words of the old hymn, "On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." This parable presents us all, each one of us, with the question, how will we respond to Jesus? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks for all the different times and ways that you have taken the initiative to reach out to us, to make yourself known to us. That has been a demonstration of your love and your grace through the centuries. Father, we are especially mindful of how you did that through your Son, Jesus Christ, who not only revealed yourself to us more fully, but also redeemed us and reconciled us to you. Father, help us to see him for who he is and all that he has done, that we might, each one of us, embrace him fully as our Savior and our Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.